The sermon text for this morning from today's Old Testament reading. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I want to say, a couple months ago, when I thought of this idea, God's Word endures for women, God's Word endures for men, it seemed like a great idea. The closer I got to it, the more I was like, this seems to be more fraught with landmines than I kind of imagined there at the beginning and everything like that. As the day grew closer, I really began to question that thought. As you have hopefully noticed, I'm not a woman. I'm not female. Somebody asked me once regarding priests, like how could priests do premarital counseling when they don't get married? My answer to that was, well, I've never done heroin, but I can pretty much say with confidence, like it's a bad idea. Right, so there are a few things you don't have to experience to be able to speak with some amount of authority on that. But it's hard for a male to stand in a female's shoes, to go through what they go through and understand what they go through, because we're not female. And so we can't understand, and we don't grasp everything that women go through. But I begin to wonder how much of the Word of God is... Well, how much does it say to each gender that doesn't apply to the other gender? I was thinking about this. Well, what about the whole armor of God? Well, no. The whole armor of God applies to males and females alike. There's modesty issues. And sometimes I find modesty issues to be quite frustrating, right? Because sometimes it seems to me that people speak of modesty issues with only females in mind. It's like females have to be modest, but guys get to run around in ripped-up T-shirts or something like that. I scratch my head on that one because it seems like only the fellows have hormones and lust issues. Now, I don't think that's true. I'm pretty much convinced that people with a pulse have hormones and lust issues. So, modesty... That applies to all of us. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments apply to every single person. And the Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that He fulfilled the law in our place, that died an innocent death as a sacrifice for sin, and rose again for our justification. Yep, pretty confident that applies to males and females equally and all alike. How about St. Paul saying, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus? Is that a slight to the ladies? No, not at all. There in Galatians chapter 3, Paul is elevating all believers, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male or female, to status. He's elevating their status to that of a mature fully grown son who's worthy of the inheritance that is to be given to them. Actually, a possessor of the inheritance. So, what is St. Paul saying? He says, daughters are elevated to the status of possessors of the inheritance. I'm sure that in his day, Jesus' day, was a very shocking thing to say, and holding women very high up on a pedestal, equating them in the world of salvation with men. So elevated in Christ, salvation is for all people. Still, we males and females, we are different. We are biologically different. Our chromosomes show that. The outside can be made to appear in all sorts of ways, but males are males and females are females. We are created differently. And we are created for different tasks. God formed the man out of the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. The Lord God took the man, placed him in the garden to do what? To work it and take care of it. And then he brought all the animals to Adam and asked Adam what he would name them. And whatever he named them, that was its name. I think that's a fascinating thing to ponder and think about. But no suitable helper was found for Adam. And so what did the Lord God do? The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on the man. And he took up one of the ribs out of the man, closed up the place with flesh, and he made a woman from the rib. And he brought her to the man. And he said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Woman is called the helpmeet or the helper to man. Adam couldn't carry on a conversation, you know, with the ostrich. He could not have dinner, so to speak, with the lion, right? He needed somebody to share his life with. And God created his wife Eve to do that, right? And what did Adam say? She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And the Bible goes on to tell us this is why a man leaves his father and his mother and lives with his wife, and they become one flesh. And God blessed them and said what? Have children. That's what God said to the man and the woman. Have children. So we know that women are the bearers of children. Women are the keepers of the home. Women are the bringers of life into the world. No man can give birth to a child. That is reserved for women alone. The Proverbs of King Lemuel show us the other things that a good woman does. Proverbs 31 is an acrostic poem. Each line starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's like if we wrote a poem that started, you know, first line A, second line B, third line C, fourth line D. I'm going to lose my alphabet here in a second if I go too far. And so that's how this is written as the ideal woman. A woman who fears the Lord, he ends up at the end. It gives all these qualities. You know, she runs her own business. She runs her home. She takes care of her family. She takes care of the poor. And has all kinds of wonderful gifts that she does. But he says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's what a good wife, that's how he starts out. A good wife, who can find? But then I got to thinking, not all women are wives. Not all women are mothers. Although all females are daughters. It's in her relations that the girl, the young woman, the matron, show their fear of the Lord. What is the girl first? First, she is a daughter in her parents' home. She is a daughter in her parents' heart and in their home. She who loves the Lord shows to her parents great affection and obedience. And while there are ups and downs and there are heartaches here and there, a daughter who fears the Lord does not show disregard for her parents' advice or the way that they're trying to lead and guide her. And the daughter honors her father and mother, just like the fourth commandment instructs us. As the Apostle Paul writes, let us first show piety at home and repay our parents for everything they have done for us, for that is good and acceptable to the Lord. When a young woman does that, when a girl does that, in truth she will be a daughter of Naomi and a sister to Ruth. You remember how Ruth took care of Naomi. And again, she of whom we speak this day is sister. And many a young man in this world is blessed to have had a sister. It's through his sister that he learned to talk to other girls and not regard them as fearful or mysterious or as something to be used, but as wonderful and worthy of respect and protection. I noticed this, and again, this is the hard thing about these things is you know, I have my experiences, you have your experiences. I've noticed just in our own family, it was myself, my brother, mom and dad. And I'm assuming this happens when there's a family of all guys. Mom is just one of the guys, right? You don't think as a boy of your mom as a girl. You don't think that way. And girls, to be able to talk to them, they were strange and mysterious creatures. But I noticed a difference with my son, who grew up with two sisters. He wasn't nearly as afraid of girls as I was. He had the blessing of having sisters that he grew up with and lived with, right? And there's a little more wonderful and comforting as a house where brothers and sisters dwell together in love and unity. And accordingly, there's not much quite as distressing in a home where domestic storms are the order of the day. Because it's a sadder place where sister is jealous of sister, or mother is jealous of daughters, or where one sex mocks or berates the other, causing the home to be a volcanic pool rather than a warmly glowing hot tub. Don't let it become that in the home. For your brothers and sisters, be they younger or older than you, come to cherish them. Remember the one who has placed you together in the fear of the Lord and built the home as siblings. Remember Mary and Martha and Lazarus, right? Two sisters and a brother. Well, we know there were some bumps there. That whole Mary, Martha, Mary, and, you know, one serving, one sitting at the feet of Jesus. There were some bumps in that household. But that happens. Still, they were of one heart, and it's written Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary, and he loved Lazarus. And where that divine love is, human and domestic love will not fail to be present. From a young lady's mission as sister, we turn to her relationship as a wife. And wife is the word that brings with it the most holy of associations and the most solemn of issues. Just marvel, just for a little bit, that God made it possible for two human beings to be of such value to each other that they live together as husband and wife. The joys of life are multiplied. The cares of life are divided and shared and borne by one another. Each one shares what the other one lacks. As King Lemuel said, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels, and the heart of her husband trusts in her. Woman is her husband's friend and her husband's helper. The wife who fears the Lord is governed by her faith. She prays the Lord's Prayer. She prays the Apostles' Creed. She lets the love of Christ guide her in her household engagements. And it is well for us to remember that it is God who has placed your husband and your household under your care. And godly wives make the entire community and the entire world a far better place than it would be without them. And there is yet one more relationship that woman has, and that is that of mother. There is something in that word, mother. God blessed us with procreation, and yes, the office of mother holds a very special place in our hearts. And while some women are not mothers, and obviously all men are not mothers, we all have mothers. And mother holds a special place for each and every one of us. And guys, you know it, and I know it. Mother holds a place for us in our hearts that dad just can't reach, that father can't get to. Love, beauty, patience, self-denial, power and strength, all those qualities are gathered into that one word, mother. Our Lord Jesus Christ was woman-born. He had a mom. And what a mission it is to be mother. It is a false ambition that looks for a more normal, more noble field than motherhood. because motherhood is worthy of the greatest ambition and the most energy. Without true and genuine love in the heart of him whom Mary bore, without deep Christian conviction and godly character, without noble example in prayer and churchliness, how could a mother lead her children where she ought to lead her children to? And ladies, you live a place and time in the history of the world where it seems to me that desperate worldlings are seeking to strip you of your womanliness, to tear your femininity from you, and with hammer and tongs beat and fashion you into a man. Don't let that happen. Rejoice. Have joy that you were created woman, that you have the office of daughter, of sister, of wife, of mother. Embrace those offices. Hold them fast. Glory in them and rejoice in them. Look to Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet. Elizabeth, who said of her pregnancy, "The Lord has done this for me." Hannah, who declared, "For this child I prayed." Tabitha, who went about doing good works. And Mary, the mother of our Lord, who humbly said to the angel, "May it be done to me as you have said." And there's a host of other godly women to emulate. Remembering, as King Lemuel has said, a woman who fears the Lord, she is to be praised. Amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.